The Cincinnati Fringe Festival has become a mainstay of theater here in Cincinnati, as well as very respected by the rest of the national and international fringe community. And joining me this evening to discuss it is Eric Vossmeyer, producer of the Cincinnati Fringe Festival. Welcome, Eric.
Thanks, Jim. Thanks for having me.
Every year, there's always something to look forward to, actually several things to look forward to, whether it's your favorite performers or your local group or what's going to be new and different. What are some of the highlights of this year's Fringe Festival?
For me, the biggest highlight is that it's sort of like a family reunion where all my friends come to town to visit me for 12 days. So that's really nice. And I get to meet a whole bunch of new friends. But we've got this year a kind of an amazing lineup. I think the strongest we've ever had. I say that every year. It always feels like I should probably stop saying that. But it really is this year incredibly strong. We've got a record number of international groups this year with 3. We had a record number of Fringe Next applications with 11. And now we have 4 slots for the Fringe Next piece of the festival, which is our high school artist version. 4 different schools, 2 of them from Northern Kentucky, which is also really exciting. A bunch of returning folks, and then 50% of our groups, as we try to maintain, always coming from local producing companies.
What is the scope of the applications that come in? How many are you getting each year? You said 11 for Next, but the festival as a whole, how many applications do you process?
Including Fringe Next, we had almost 100 this year, and there are only about 33 slots is generally what we keep the primary part of the festival to, and then 3 or 4 slots for Fringe Next. So this year really was, we were one off of the record number of applicants from last year in the main festival, and we hit a record with Fringe Next this year. So it's continuing to grow. And that, to me, when we look at sort of where the folks heard about the Cincinnati Fringe Festival, it's almost always other artists, which is, to me, the greatest compliment of all, because those artists are recommending our festival because they really enjoy coming to our festival.
And one of the great balances that you achieve is, you said you've got international, you've got national, you've also got some local organizations and artists who are coming in to do this.
Yeah, absolutely. So this year we have 50% of our groups are local, maybe just a little bit less than that, which is something we strive to maintain because we want to make sure that this is a local arts festival as well as presenting the best of what the country and the world have. We want to show off what Cincinnati has as well. So we've got a number of groups this year from returning groups like Performance Gallery, who's been in every single festival. Perhaps you've heard of a new Edgecliff Theater, maybe.
Heard about that one, yeah.
They're also a participant this year. Pones, Inc., Homegrown Theater. We've got a bunch of local people in this year.
You mentioned around the world and around the country, the Fringe concept has become very, very popular in the past decade. Cincinnati Fringe is, while not the founder of the Fringe movement, is one of the early participants, especially here in the United States.
Yeah.
Are you finding you're getting a lot of artists who do the, quote, circuit?
Yeah, it's a little bit challenging to do a full circuit in the U.S. because we don't schedule quite the same way as they do in Canada, for example. But there are definitely ways to link multiple festivals together. And so we have a number of artists who will be coming to us directly from the Orlando Festival, which happens immediately before us. And we have a number of people who will be heading to St. Louis right after us. And so, yeah, there are definitely some folks who have figured out how to piece that together. And some of it comes down to luck. A lot of those festivals, unlike ours, are lotteried or first come, first serve. And so they have to sort of just wait and see whether they get accepted.
What are some of the acts that you are looking forward to?
There's so many. We've had multiple acts in the past apply from Israel, and this is the first time we've ever been able to accept one and get visas worked out for them. So we're really excited about that. And that's a piece called Around Dark Matter by Micah Devere. Plus 2 acts from the UK, which is now 3 international acts in our festival this year, a record. But also, you know, like I said, a lot of Fringe returning. We have 4 Humors coming back to town with an unauthorized autobiography of Benny Hill, which to me sounds like a fantastic concept. And Performance Gallery always puts together a super strong piece for us. And really, again, as I've said a couple of times this year, as I look back on my festival years, they're one of the reasons this festival was created. And so we're really happy to have them back as well. And then we've got a bunch of new people this year, too, which is always exciting to me because new acts is sort of what keeps us really kind of engaged with our audiences, making sure that they're always seeing something different and making sure we're bringing the most unique and the most exciting pieces of new work to this festival. So that's, for me, one of the greatest facets of what our festival is that we always have a bunch of new producers in it.
When someone comes to you, whether it's an artist or a potential patron, and they ask the question, what is a Fringe piece? What should it be? How do you answer that?
In the application process, we have kind of laid out really kind of a list of descriptors. We've really free-formed our application because we have a juried festival, so we want to hear the best pitch from these artists during the application process. So we ask our artists to sort of reflect on what are the things in their show that represent kind of creativity, innovation, low-tech but high-impact storytelling, and high quality of performance. It's a small festival in small venues, but at the same time, we are still trying to show the best storytellers out there. And so really, it's for us an opportunity to hopefully seek acts that are specifically doing high quality work that we don't normally see around here, whether it's because of the style of what the show is or whether it's because of the content of what the show is. But for some reason, those kinds of things don't get produced in this region. And so that's what we really seek to exhibit with the festival, is something that you can't see other times of year. You have to come to the festival to see it.
And with 35 or so individual performances over a period that stretches from May 27th to June 7th, how many venues? I know a lot of people are always looking forward to, oh, I want to see what venues they use this year. How many venues do you have?
Venues this year will be probably around 10 total, and they are kind of spread out over the neighborhood of Over the Rhine. We try and keep everything walkable from No Theater. But yeah, it really is an exciting opportunity, I think, also to engage in the neighborhood when you come down for the festival. So you're not just coming to see shows, but you're coming to see shows. Check out Bakersfield, come to the bar at No Theater afterwards for a drink and play in the Fringe Olympics or something like that. There's a lot of stuff going on. We don't want you flying in, seeing a show, and flying out of town. We want you to come and hang out with us. We want you to spend time helping invest in this community, because that's something that we think is incredibly important and has enabled us to grow the way that we have grown, which is almost 100% an audience growth in the last 5 years.
In a way, it's sort of a theatrical smorgasbord, because they are a maximum of 90 minutes?
Actually, this year we reduced it to 70 minutes from last year's 75.
And so people can come down, especially on the weekends,
yeah,
and they can see three or four shows. They can take a moment and go grab a bite to eat, and
yep,
the huge explosion of restaurants down in that area.
Hang out in Washington Park. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of stuff to do down here now.
In terms of working with coordinating people from out of town, and especially, as you said, this year you were able to get the Israeli production in because you had to work out visas and all like that. It takes a lot of people to put this together.
It really does. Yeah, there are. In addition to my full-time staff, which works at and runs No Theater year-round, which is only four of us at the moment, we have probably 55 paid employees of the festival and another 250 volunteer positions during the festival. So it really is a community effort. And without those folks who participate on a pretty annual basis, because they also love it, it's their favorite time of year, people who take off work to come and work for us for 2 weeks, that's an amazing thing. But also, yeah, those volunteers who sort of fill in all the other gaps and help us run this festival and have helped make this festival as reputable as it is.
Now, this has been your final season at the No Theater.
Yep.
And is your final season with Fringe Festival.
Yep.
In your years of festival producing, what would you recommend to a patron coming down to see Fringe Festival shows? What would you recommend that they plan on doing, plan on seeing, how to handle it?
So for me, again, going back to what I was just saying, it's a theater-based festival. It's a performance-based festival, but that's not all it is. It really is kind of a community festival and kind of an opportunity to meet a lot of interesting people, both neighborhood folks, but also artists from out of town. Everyone is incredibly friendly, and everybody gets together each night at the bar series at No Theater afterwards to just sort of spend time getting to know one another. Out of those kinds of social events have come collaborative projects that have gone on to other fringes and been brought back to ours. So for me, it's about participating in the whole of the event. Seeing a show is fantastic. We want people to come and see shows. We need people to come and see shows. We wouldn't do them if it wasn't for that. But really, for me, it's an opportunity to kind of explore this sort of pop-up community that happens during the Fringe Festival. And it's one of the most inspiring things I've ever seen. But it's also, I think, really what makes our festival unique. Because we keep it small, because the footprint is all walkable, and because we have this headquarters at No Theater, people are able to come and spend a night engaged in a way that's not just sitting in an audience and quietly watching a show. You actually get to talk about the shows afterwards. You get to meet the artists afterwards. You get to meet the artists' friends and collaborators. You really get to have a full experience of what a theatrical night out could be.
And out of some of these social events actually have come sort of a series, as it were.
Yeah. So each night at the bar series, it's sort of our staff of four people who kind of conceive and brainstorm how to make these events fun. And we really want people to come down and be engaged. And so we've created a series of sort of mini productions that No Theater presents during it. And it's called the bar series. So we have things like Fringe Olympics. We have Fringeoki, which everybody loves. We have this year an arts and crafts night, which will be leading up to Fringe Prom. So the Fringe Prom theme, which has been announced as Masquerade. And then the night before, we'll all have an opportunity to make our own masquerade masks. We do a game night. We have a Fringe Toberfest this year, which will be a sampling of local beers. So it's just really kind of fun for us to play a little bit and see what we can kind of create for our artists to come down and have fun.
I can kind of get the gist of most of them, but yeah. Go into Fringe Olympics a little more.
Fringe Olympics is a ridiculous series of events and humiliating activities that we put people through to win a trophy that they don't actually get to leave the building with. And every year we have, I would say, between 6 and 8 teams of 4 or 5 people participating in things from, I don't know, pizza eating to beer chugging to sculpting competitions to all kinds of different things. I could tell you more, except normally we invent most of the games on the day of the Fringe Olympics based on what we see lying around the space.
Well, that's the 2014 Sensei Fringe Festival, the farewell festival for producer Eric Vossmeyer. I'd like to thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thanks again for having
us. And for all the years of coordinating the Fringe Festival, again, something that's become a true mainstay in Cincinnati theater.
It's been an honor to work on it.
For more information on the 2014 Cincinnati Fringe Festival, please be sure to visit our website at WVXU.org. For Around Cincinnati, this is Jim Stump.
Please don't shed a tear. Say, child, you'll be always near somehow. Time will disappear, so smile, my dear, and never say goodbye. Say, child, no, never say goodbye. Say, ciao.